The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dr. Fauci's back, and he's a little skeptical that football will return in the fall of 2020. Dr. Fauci's back, and he says that football will need to be in a bubble. And by the way, if you question whether or not that is the most prudent course of action, well, if you haven't learned anything from your modern media news cycle, it's that you're a moron. If you have any questions about the official line, the party line, the religious doctrine, you're a bad person. Don't you know how it works now? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests are at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll talk about Dr. Fauci's newest recommendation when it comes to football in 2020. Plus, how is it you get one singular point of view? How does that happen? Like, logistically, how is that possible? I'm going to walk you through the logistics of just that. We have asked ourselves today, let's game plan out 1, 2, 5, a dozen coronavirus positive tests. What happens in NBA? What happens in the NFL? What happens in college football? There are reports today that the University of Texas has 13 players who have tested positive for coronavirus. Another 10 who through contact tracing were exposed and are also in quarantine right now. What does that do to a team? What does that do to a season? What does that do to a league? How do teams prepare? It cannot be the way it was in the spring. One test and the dominoes begin to fall. And before you know it, within a matter of days, a league is canceled. So how will leagues handle a positive coronavirus test in the fall? Let's talk about that with ESPN college football reporter Heather Dinich, who's on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Heather?
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Let's talk about what kind of threshold there is in college football. How many dominoes would have to fall? As I look across the landscape, Heather, and it's not limited to just college football. I think about the NBA. They're getting ready to go to the bubble. What if 2-3 players on a team test positive? Does that shut down the team? And if that shuts down the team, does that shut down the schedule? And if that shuts down the schedule, does that shut down the league? That's the same dominoes we saw fall in the spring. But it'll all apply to college football as well. And with seeing the news that 13 Longhorns tested positive for coronavirus, I wonder, how will teams handle 1 to a dozen cases? Do you have a sense of what will be the protocols on what a positive test means?
It will depend on each school's ability to contact trace. I think in speaking with medical experts at both Notre Dame and Florida and other schools, that's a really big part of it. Can you isolate and contain that infected individual and whoever that person came into contact with, right, and stop it, stop the spread, slow the spread, and catch it there? There are some universities and teams and programs that will have the resources and be able to do that. There are others that will not. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby told me earlier this week he expects to have a college football season, but one that will be interrupted because there will be more positive tests. The question is, who is equipped to handle them? And the other question is, what are those positives? The reason we saw Houston stop out of an abundance of caution, those voluntary workouts, was because those players were symptomatic. That's the first time we've heard that word, symptomatic. What does that mean? Did they just have fevers, or are those kids all in bed for 2 weeks? We don't know the answer to that. So I think that is also a question that as we move forward and see more actual football activity over the next coming months will play a role in deciding everything you're talking about.
Heather Dinich here on the Will Cain Show. And how many players tested positive at Houston?
Houston was sixth, and it was not just football, though. It was across all sports, and that's because, as you see now, they're bringing athletes back in more than just football.
And what do we know about what's going on at the University of Texas? I see something like that where there's 13 positive tests, another 10 who are in quarantine. because of contact tracing. And I say to myself, well, what was going on different in Austin? I mean, that can't be unique. That's going to be something that University of Florida, Ohio State, UCLA are all going to need to be prepared for, I would assume. There's no outlier I can really pinpoint in Austin versus these other locales.
Well, I don't know the cause of it. Let's start there. But I will say that collectively as a country, we have to wait to see state by state how some of these protests that have been going on for social justice impact coronavirus positive tests. And I believe that there was one recently in Austin. It might still be going on. I'm not sure. But there, you know, that's part of it all. One of the Oklahoma State linebackers who tweeted that he had a positive coronavirus test result, he said it was because he was at a protest in Tulsa. Tulsa football is opening their program right now. So we'll see how that might impact them. So there are all these different variables. And while athletic departments are bending over backwards to protect the athletes on campus and within their facilities, every athletic director I have talked to has expressed concerns about what do we do when they leave.
Heather Dinich, ESPN's college football reporter here on The Will Cain Show. I think, and I don't think I'm off on this, but I think we were beginning to become more optimistic, Heather. I think we were probably somewhat accurate in the idea, okay, we're moving back, we're headed back to workouts, we're headed back to the fall. I do wonder, Heather, if we've lost the original goal, the original purpose, which was to bend the curve as opposed to accomplish a 0% infection rate or even mortality rate. It was bend the curve, let the healthcare system handle as many cases as possible. But I think even if we'd lost that goal, we were headed towards more optimism. And then I hear from Dr. Fauci today that football may need to be played in a bubble. So I'm curious, administrators, presidents, ADs, where were they? Where are they? Did they change equally in the last couple of days?
Based on the conversations that I've had literally from coast to coast, it would be described, I think, as optimistic but realistic. And while there are so many improvements that have been made with testing, with contact tracing on these individual campuses, there is also an acknowledgement out there that this virus is still here, right? Shane Lyons, the athletic director at West Virginia, said to me, the coronavirus controls us. We are not controlling it. At Oklahoma, Joe Castiglione, the athletic director there, told me the virus is invisible and it is risk mitigation, not risk elimination. So they are all very wary of what it's going to look like a couple of months from now. Look, these voluntary workouts are baby steps. They are all expected to have some positive tests, yes, but the football players aren't even lining up next to each other. There are precautions in place right now where the weight racks are 6 to 12 feet apart away from each other. Florida moved its entire weight room into its indoor facility, the only SEC team to do that, right? So this is now, and you're seeing positive tests. What does it look like a month from now when players are actually outside on the field getting back to actual football?
I truly appreciate the unknown. I mean, it is the defining characteristic of everything, and I truly appreciate that. And then from there, it will be how do we handle what we know in the moment comes back, and what kind of risks are we willing to take? ESPN college football reporter Heather Dinich here on The Will Cain Show. Heather, really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming up, I want to get in a break here because I want to come back to you and talk to you about how is it possible that you get one point of view? Well, let's go through the logistics of that. Plus, we got another game of Butt Hurt, and we'll continue talking about Dr. Fauci's newest recommendation for football. My phone lines are lit up, and I'm going to get to all of you on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line, 888-729-3776. It's The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
James in Nevada, you're on the Will Cain Show.
Okay, now, my thing about it is, you are just like Howard Cosell.
How's that?
Everybody want to hear you and watch you, but can't nobody stand
you. Can't stand me?
Can't stand you. Why but can't... everybody want to watch you, just like Howard Cosell.
That comes out of bitterness, envy, and absence of co-equal success.
This is Will Cain.
I've always thought it was a mystery, but after being in media for, I don't know, a decade, I think I have some idea how it happens. How do you get one point of view? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's pick up where we left off when it came to Dr. Fauci, who now said to CNN that football will have to be in a bubble, or football may not come back in 2020. Now, as I said in the first hour of the show, Dr. Fauci is the preeminent voice on coronavirus and infectious diseases in this country. He is a voice we listen to and defer to, but he is not the word of God, because his word has changed numerous times over the last several months. From mask to no mask, CDC telling us asymptomatic spreads it. Now CDC saying asymptomatic does not spread it. Contact surfaces are carrying coronavirus for 7 to 10 days. No. Now it's respiratory. It's back and forth. And the truth is, I don't blame the CDC. I don't blame Dr. Fauci. It's impossible to know. But we should know. Therefore, every single piece of guidance, while we listen to it and factor it in, is not the word of God. All of this, in the end, is a risk analysis. One for us as individuals, one for us as businesses, and one for us as a society. We take our information in, the best information we can get, and we make a risk analysis of our health and others against our livelihood and others. That is how you approach this. Not, I would offer you, how Max Kellerman characterizes it right here on First Take.
The reason I think there's so much optimism is because irresponsible leaders in this country have put us into a position where we're sort of in a, where they'd like us to be in a post-fact, post-truth world. This is what happens in places like Russia with Vladimir Putin. Everything is, disinformation is constantly put out there, and the facts are debated, not even on the merits, and propaganda is put out, and so there's fatigue after a while, and people just throw up their hands and say, well, who knows what is true? And the next step is, well, there is no such thing as really true. And once you get there, political leaders can tell you anything they want. Yeah, we can reopen the economy. We can reopen the country. Really? But none of the medical experts are saying that. Those are the politicians saying that. So when you look at the reality, which will bump up against it when it's something like an infectious disease who does not care what your politics are, the reality will eventually set in, because it's because actually facts do count, and there is such thing as the truth. The NFL has not been serious, in my view, about reopening with their plan. Neither has Major League Baseball. Neither has college football, only the NBA. And if these other sports want a shot at actually finishing their seasons, I suggest they get much more sober in their view and, yes, imitate what the NBA is doing.
All right. Let's walk through that. First of all, epidemiologists were not elected nor self-appointed the authoritarians of society. It's true, they are important advisors, but to hear Max Kellerman tell it, they are religious leaders that you shall not question, only follow with faith. This is simply not just a public health question when we return from coronavirus. It is not. Now, how many times you cloak yourself in righteousness and think you have all the facts on your side? You don't. You're also not making all the calls, because human beings, every single one of us out here, are capable of making our own decisions, and businesses and politicians and economists and epidemiologists. It's not simply a public health question. It is also an economic question. It is also an individual liberty question. It is all of those things put together. That's why we have leaders, not doctors or just doctors, in charge. That's the whole point. That's how the system works. If you want a different system, If you want emergency powers handed over to doctors at times like this, you got some groundwork to cover. In the old days, I would have tell you, go to the voting booth, rally some people to your cause, see if you can amend the Constitution. Good luck to you. In the new days, I know you don't have to do that. Now you just got to tear down some stuff, burn some stuff, get everybody scared you're going to get them fired, and maybe you'll win. I have to bow to you. You've changed the way change is made. I get it. So maybe you get it now. But let's be clear about it. It is not ruled by epidemiologists. It is ruled by democracy, still, for a little while longer in America. And in that case, we balance economies against public health. And again, no matter how often you cloak yourself in righteous facts, that's how smart people do it. Now let's go to the facts. If the facts are this so sanctimonious thing that you have a province over, a monopoly on, if you're the one who is so clearly pure in your scientific research, in your scientific pursuit, I would just like to know, where the hell you been for the last 2 or 3 weeks? The hypocrisy is enough to choke a horse. And I'm talking a big draft horse. Not a little, you know, Arabian long distance horse. I'm talking big mountain horse. The hypocrisy enough to take down a draft horse. Put it on the ground. Because coronavirus was world stopping. And then it wasn't. And then no one mentioned it. Oh, it was protests in the street. No. Big gatherings. Exactly everything we were told. No mention. Those die off, those peter off a little bit, and now it's back, baby. It's back and football is canceled. Forgive me for some cynicism for whether or not your true facts are driving the day. Forgive me. A rational human being isn't fastened to a political leader or a political party. A rational human being doesn't turn science into religion, and you are doing that because you're not questioning it, which is the foundation of science. A rational human being understands that there are cost benefits in life, risk analysis, and you balance things against each other, public health against economy, depression, economic and personal, against purity of your respiratory system. A rational human being can do all of this. But a religious person on these types of things absolutely thinks anyone who disagrees with them is a moron or evil or racist. That's the newest entry into how we dismiss people who disagree with us. Those are your choices. And I would suggest you people are better than this. They can see through this crap. They just get fed the same thing all day over and over. One point of view, one POV, all day long. Just explain to me this. In a country of people who have who knows how many views, and it at best, if we boil it down to the simplistic right-left, 50-50, how is it everything is one point of view? I don't care if you're on the left. Isn't that curious? Isn't that interesting? Let me tell you how. These are my best estimation. The media largely draws from people from, you know, self-selection one point of view. We have to acknowledge that's how it happens. It happens in other industries as well. You look at oil and gas is largely people who have, you know, more conservative points of view. So there's some self-selection in there. It's also largely centered in the Northeast, which is a very, you know, localized point of view as well. So you got, you know, those two factors reinforcing it. Then what happens is everybody that gets in there and rises up to the executive levels likes to have people around them that agree with them because it reinforces the fact that you're right all along and you're really a smart person. So it starts filling up the ranks, all one point of view. Then this is the interesting part as well. I find this fascinating. There's an ecosystem around it. It's bloggers, media critics. They all share that same point of view. They lionize people once again that tell them what they like to hear, lift it up. And by the way, people get paid on this. I mean, ratings be damned. You get a good write-up in The Athletic or a good write-up on the New York Post and here come the millions. And then so you got the ecosystem around it, the blogosphere that lifts it up, you know, tells you better. Then, oh, by the way, there's social media, also extremely slanted to one point of view as well. That's going to lift you up. And every step of the way, there's this echo chamber that takes a, in some cases, very extreme minority point of view. And I'm not even talking about a 50% proposition. I'm talking about we can take some of these points of views, and they're like 5%, 10% type popularity type views, and echoes a chamberism up into dominating the media landscape to something like 95% of representation. And before you know it, anybody that disagrees is a moron, or a racist, or evil. And you, sitting out there, on the right, on the left, all over the place, individual thoughts, imagine that, individual thoughts, that's the biggest sin of all, you only get to hear one. Well, for 3 hours a day on ESPN Radio from 3 to 6, that has not been the case. And it's not because my point of view is the one that wins the day. It's because ours does. Because this is the arena. This has been the arena. This is where you and I can have that conversation together. The one place left where we can let all points of view not just be aired, but be challenged with each other. But it'll soon go back to 95%. I just found it a curiosity. Maybe you'd like to know how that happens. My phone lines are lit up. Real quick, I've got 1 minute. Don't tell me no. Brandon in the Bay Area. What's up, Brandon?
Will, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. What's up?
Hey, I got 2 points, man. First of all, from Dr. Heather's point, I would like to request, like, why are we not really paying attention to the spike on coronavirus where the riots were prominent at? If she's saying that wearing a mask is good, then how is there a spike in coronavirus? I have another point. Is there a spike in coronavirus around the spots around the country or the world that have done protests and so
forth? Well, Brandon, we should certainly be watching that. We should certainly be watching that. Should we not? I mean, stand to reason. That's what we were told for 2 months, so we should, as they always say, see in about 2 weeks. What's your second point, Brandon?
I want to say to you, keep speaking your mind. Like, you, like, anything that, like, when you speak, like, just if you believe in it, and I know that you believe in what you're talking about, and I don't care about all the politics around ESPN and so forth, but you speak in your mind. If you continue to do that, it doesn't matter where you end up in life, you will always be prosperous. And I pray for you, my friend, and thank you for being on the airwaves, because you mean a lot to me.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. I wish the same for you, man. It's not about me or my job. At this point, it's about us. It's about this society. You do it as well. We try to research. We be smart. We try to be knowledgeable on these subjects, and we try to not be scared. I'm telling you, our society depends upon it. Coming up, lighten it up. Play Butthurt next on The Will Cain Show.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Some of the greatest hits in the history of the Will Cain Show. Plus, game plan out 1, 2, 3, 12. Coronavirus positive tests in professional sports. How do we let the dominoes fall? Can't just be we shut everything down once again. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Let's play a little game, as we do, of Butthurt. Mike A is back. Before we get into Butthurt, Mike A, we thought we might break a little news to you once again. Noted New York Jet fan, Mike A. I know this is going to come as shock to you, but Jamal Adams wants a trade again.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And he ain't going to get it.
Are you at all a little bit tired of the roller coaster? Like, you're up, down, he's in, he's out. I mean, I don't know how many times he's requested a trade at this point. And I know Jamal is great. And as a Cowboy fan, I've been one waiting for you to trade him to me. But I got to become a little sympathetic to you. And you're going to think I'm being Machiavellian. I'm not. I'm not playing you. We're not at the poker table. But I am serious. Like, you got to, at some point, be like, okay, you're either with us or you're not.
Yeah, you said roller coaster, and I can't remember the last time it was up. I can't remember the last time he was all in. I am getting a little tired of it, but at the same point right now, I'm saying, so what? You're under contract for 2, maybe 3 more years. You can cry all you want. I'll see you at game one. And if I don't see you at game one, then we'll see.
All right. I'm not playing poker. I'm not being Machiavellian, but will you take a first round pick and that's all right now?
No. Again, nothing has changed for me. Nothing has changed. I still think they can offer him a good contract. Nothing has changed, except right. He's tweeting. Ooh.
All right, Jamal. We got a little more work to do. All right, let's play a little game of Butthurt here. Mike A., Bubba, Nuno, Pat, and myself. Let's see who is most apt to get Butthurt in a given situation. Take it away, Mike.
Who is the least fun to be around?
Oh, my God. That's just... Oh. Is everybody ready?
Sure.
Oh, jeez.
I know you are, Pat. I know what you're going to do. And
I don't think you do.
don't know. Well, I know one of two you're going to do, Pat. I don't know what Nuno's going to do. Least fun to be around. Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Bubba.
Go. Nuno. Yeah.
Okay.
Pat's roommates. How is this anything?
Was there two votes in there for one person, or is there all?
Did you vote?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Who'd you
I
vote
voted for?
For
myself.
Did everyone just get a vote there?
Yeah, we just get one for everyone.
Yeah, be like everyone voted for everyone.
Pat, you had to vote for Bubba, right? Is that what you did?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I knew you.
Classic.
Would. I knew you would. And Bubba, who'd you vote for?
I voted for Nuno.
Oh. And Mike, and you voted for Pat.
Me? Yeah.
Yeah, and I voted for Mike.
And Nuno, you voted
all right, got everyone covered.
All right, good. Glad
we got everybody covered.
Glad we cleared that one up.
Why'd you vote for yourself?
It could be a little tough to take sometimes. I realize really? That.
Yes, you could.
Well, you know, we hadn't noticed.
But your family has never tried to throw a party without you.
That's fair. If we just took a look at objective evidence, I'm not the person on the show who's had a roommate throw a party and not be invited to that party, which is at my own house.
How dare you? It was four roommates.
Four roommates.
Four of them.
It's truly the saddest story I've ever heard.
It's about to be two more soon.
All right, the old George Costanza here. Who would shove you out of the way to save themselves?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Shove you out of the way to save themselves. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm ready.
I bet you are.
Okay, I think I got it. All right, 3, 2, 1. Go,
Bubba.
Oh, you guys are right. You guys are right. I voted Bubba because I just thought when it came to crunch time, Bubba is going to be a self-preservationist. He is going to make sure he gets across that river. He is going to make sure you are the one that is subjected to the piranhas. But now that you say it, that is Mike A. Mike A is going to shove you out of the way.
Who else? I voted for Mike. Who else voted for Mike? Anyone else?
I'm going to shove you out of the way because I would shove you out of the way. That doesn't mean I would do it to save myself. Just because I want to shove you doesn't mean like it would be in that situation.
Yeah, just so you know, Will, me and Mike both voted for you. So
I thought you voted for Mike too.
No, I voted for Mike.
Yeah,
I Nuno and I got so Mike.
There was two votes for Will, two votes for me, and
no,
one
no, I'm
vote
sorry,
for
I voted
Bubba.
For Bubba. I think.
What?
No. Yeah, no, me and
how
you
not know?
I'm getting confused.
It was 45 seconds ago.
You realized yesterday during the quiz that Yellowstone was not the first national park in the world.
Mike even Googled it. It was in Mongolia. Right.
No. The first one was in Mongolia. You're a travesty on these things. You don't even know your own votes.
Whatever.
Mike A., take it away.
Who is the most closed-minded?
Ready.
Okay, this is good. This is between two individuals, I think. Okay.
This is between one individual.
All right, I'm ready. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Bubba. I heard you, Mike.
I did.
Mike said Nuno?
Yeah.
I said Nuno. Nuno ain't changing his mind. I don't think Pat's not changing his mind either.
That was kind of my thought. I don't think Bubba
is
going to change his mind.
Maybe not either.
That's why I voted for Bubba.
I don't know. Is anyone changing their minds on this show?
Me.
By the way, my wife votes for me.
The most closed-minded? You play, you know, for a guy, watch this. I'm going to do one butthurt, okay? Okay. Okay. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Ready, guys? Who is the leakiest vessel? You understand?
What does that even mean?
No, I don't understand the question.
Who's not putting it in the vault? Like it's a leaky vessel. It's not going in the vault. It's probably going to go from here to the outside world. Okay? Not malevolently, but it's probably going to. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Mike!
So
good card.
Here's the deal, Mike. While you win that, you play your closed-mindedness close to the vest. Like, I'm not 100% sure you're POV on a lot of things. So your wife's saying you're closed-minded on these things. You don't let those things out, I don't think, that readily.
Just for clarity, I did not vote for Mike A. on that one.
You also voted for Warrior last.
You voted for me on every other card.
Who did you vote for?
Me.
Oh, I mean, that's fair.
Really?
You're definitely number two.
Just keeping you guys on your toes, you know?
Good to know.
You are
good
definitely number two, for sure.
All right. That's another good game of butthurt.
Like
there we go.
Keep you guys on your toes.
Give us a call, 888-729-3776. Open forum, plus how many positive coronavirus tests? Shut down a league. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. I've had a lot to say today about Dr. Fauci, about the media. I've had a lot to say about the return of sports and even how far we should let empathy guide us and whether or not logic can serve as a guardrail when we talk about canceling things in this society. The latest is the Florida Gators canceling their Gator Bait chant. I talked about all of that today. You can go hear it on the Will Cain Show podcast over the last 3 hours. I can promise you this, it'll be something unique you don't hear anywhere else in sports media. But now it's your turn, and you can give it back to me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's do that with Matt in South Dakota. Take it away, Matt.
Hey, Will. How are we doing today?
Good, man.
Good. Say, I've got a little problem with the rant you went on here a few minutes ago. You're talking about the truth being different for everybody. Some people believe the scientists. Some people believe the economists. Some people believe politicians. How can we not believe somebody who has dedicated their life to science? Isn't science fact-based completely?
All right. Let me help you out, Matt, because...
The other problem is, Will, real quick, it wasn't all that long ago that you told us loudly that you had a moratorium on the truth. So we got a little hypocrisy there, too, that I think you need to deal with.
All right, Matt. I'm not even going to tell him to let you go. Bubba may pipe you down because I can hear the road underneath your car as you talk. But don't worry. We're going to set the road straight here. I don't have a moratorium on the truth. That would be an end to the truth. I have a monopoly on the truth. And that is still the case. I'm looking around. Matt, I don't see anybody else holding the belt. Do you right now? Nah. Until further notice, I have a monopoly on the truth. Mostly because nobody else is even trying. Now, do you? Let's figure it out, because I think in order to get to the truth, you have to be able to listen. And I think you did fail that, Matt. I think you failed it miserably. Miserably. I did not say you choose to believe the facts, you choose to believe science, you choose to believe economists, you choose to believe politicians. I didn't say any of that. I didn't say you pick and choose your facts and allow you, Matt, to slip back into your religious proposition that science is infallible. That's right, I made that word. Science never makes a mistake. What I said is this, a rational human being can take all of these factors, and in fact should take all these factors into account at the same time. A rational human being should be able to balance the science, the public health risks, which by the way, we have to be very honest about how that's moved over the last several months. And I don't blame them. It's a really hard thing to know because it's a novel coronavirus. But if anybody's being honest, has the message been consistent over the last 3 months? No. You balance that science against the economic interest. It's not just a public health issue. We don't elect epidemiologists, emergency authoritarians. We balance that against the economic interests and the individual liberty interests. We worry about an economic depression and personal depression. And we balance all of those things weighted against each other with the public health interest. I didn't say who you choose to believe. I said a rational human being can hold those three interests in their head at the same time and balance them out. A religious devotee, perhaps like yourself, Matt, would only say, well, facts, science, listen to only science. And you'd shut down the whole damn thing for another 6 months, another 18 months at best until you get to a vaccine and get yourself to 0%. Now, is that a monopoly on the truth? Or the ability to understand you got to balance all those weights against each other? And I trust people and business owners and societies to understand that. Maybe I have the monopoly on the truth, Matt, but it sounds to me like you have a moratorium on the truth. But you also get to respond. Go ahead, Matt. Still there, Bubba? There we go. You got to turn on your radio. Matt, last chance. You want to respond one more time? There's other people that want to get mad at
Sad.
Him. You're just listening to yourself. It's a little vain.
Why didn't he just listen through his phone? Why did he listen to radio?
Good question.
Listen through your phone, Matt. Zach in Florida. What's up, man?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
What's up?
I wanted to piggyback off of kind of what that guy was trying to say, and I agree with your point that you have to take everything into consideration, the economy, the facts, the science. And look, science evolves, right? When more facts come out, more information is available, and people can make better decisions. However, I do think people in charge don't always have the entire population's best interest in mind, and they're focused on theirs, which I think is the problem that a lot of people have, because you run into a situation like with the NFL, where the owners are concerned about their stuff. The NBA seems to be concerned about everyone involved in the process, so they came up with a process and a plan to move their sport forward. And in the same respect, you have to take all of that into consideration when making these decisions. So when you're saying...
Wait. What are you saying, Zach? You're holding the NBA up as a model to copy and the NFL is doing something wrong is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that I think the NBA is always at the forefront because David Stern was a great commissioner and I think Adam Silver is a great commissioner. And I think that they always have the best interest of their sport, the way it's perceived, and the people involved actually playing the sport in the best interest overall, which is why, whether I agree with it or not, they took the term of owners and changes of governors, which I thought was a little silly, but I get why, right? So they're trying to make everyone happy.
I don't get why.
I don't get why either. I'm a business owner. So, and people
maybe
do own
it. Maybe you should say you're a business manager from now on.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, but I still cut the checks, though. I technically own it.
But why is that? I don't understand. So it's like it's wrong for NBA owners, but it's right for you?
I don't say it's right or wrong. I don't necessarily agree with that assertion, but people want to push their agenda every which way they can. And I think when you take all the facts and accounts into consideration, the reason I was initially calling, and that guy kind of, you know, piggybacked off a little bit, was because you went on a little tangent that these rallies or the protests, so to speak, for all the horrible things going on, people weren't talking about the spread of the coronavirus. And I've heard that from other people that have that same point that you do, because I argue with friends and colleagues about it all the time. I disagree because I see articles across many different mediums.
Come on, Zach. I mean, are you going to hold me to like a zero, that you can find articles? I'm not saying that it literally wasn't found in the news cycle, but if we're going to be honest and have a real conversation, do you think the way coronavirus was covered in the weeks leading up to the social justice protests or the same way it was covered during the exact thing they told us not to do? I only have a few seconds now, Zach.
No, because people are self-serving, right? So people obviously talk about what they need to at the time. Look, I was the guy in denial about the coronavirus.
I got to go. I'm sorry, Zach. I got 10 seconds left. I appreciate the back and forth and the call. I'm sorry I couldn't go longer. The hypocrisy, not yours, Zach. The hypocrisy was just too high. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.